Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach here just outside of Washington, D.C. But since with the shutdown, the pandemic, I've been working from home, and now we don't know what it's going to look like in the fall, right? So we'll see. But anyways, every week, every Monday, we talk about everything teaching related. And as an instructional coach, I do lean in on conversations all over my building. But as an author, as an educator, as a speaker, and as a presenter, I have a chance to give, contacts all over the world. And so I have some beautiful opportunities to hang out with folks, whether you're in my time zone or far, far away. And the beauty of this pandemic, if there is any beauty in it, is that it has reminded us that the world is a small place in addition to being a big place, and we can really connect with people just about anywhere. Today, I'm going to share some personal stories that are informed by teaching, but it really is more of a witness talk, I guess, like a testimony if you are the Christian tradition. And I'm going to speak very directly, very candidly about my own faith tradition. I work at a Catholic school. I am a cradle Catholic, Irish, Italian, Polish Catholic. So I'm going to talk a lot about that, not to try to convert anybody, not to try to offend anybody, certainly. If that doesn't sound like it's your bag for today, that's okay. Skip this week's episode. New episodes every Monday. But I'm talking about it because, I'll get to that immediately. But first, a note. Let's continue the conversation on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. It's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. And I have a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. That's available on my website, and a whole bunch of templates are there that you can use and take whatever you need. I always say, we don't do this to make money. We do it to make a difference. So please check it out at AdrenalineRush.com. Today, I'm going to talk, though, about my own faith tradition. And I'll do my best to kind of keep it pulled together and classy and clean as I can. Because, unfortunately, I just left a Zoom funeral. That's a very surreal experience. If you've not had the good fortune of attending bereavement services over the internet, I don't recommend it. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. It's a hard one. But today I celebrate and I commemorate the passing of a dear friend from college, which is a weird story to say because you can hear in my voice. Hopefully you can tell over the podcast, I'm in my 30s. I'm not a guy who typically, is at that stage of his career where, there's more funerals than there are weddings, right? I'm not there yet. A lot of my friends are still having babies, getting married, things like that. I think the worst thing that we can kind of see people in their 30s is typically, divorces or people move, and that's very sad. But, you hope that the world, you connect with them down the line, okay, fine. But I had the sad news a week ago that the chaplain where I went to the college, I went to the Catholic University of America here in Washington, D.C., and I guess the associate chaplain who was, I'll get into it in a second, basically the campus ministry program is run by three chaplains, it's Larry, Moe, and Curly, which is funny because the friars actually lived in a building. It was called Curly Hall, so that is not lost on me. But my dear friend, and mentor, and spiritual advisor, confessor, priest, pastor, and just an awesome human being, Father Brad Heckethorn, who is a Franciscan friar, he passed away unexpectedly after some surgery complications, and I had a chance to see a funeral today online. So I want to talk about my time, my life with Father Brad. It's been a hard year for me. You may have seen a video I posted up on the anniversary of my book. I said it has nothing to do with COVID. Oh my God, COVID, and I'm so grateful, so very thankful. Though I know people who have been personally affected by COVID, I've not lost anyone in my life to COVID. But we all struggle with loss. We all struggle with, separation. And, it's a Catholic church thing, but there's a season, a time, and a purpose to everything, a time to live, a time to die, so I get it. And I'm not so first time around the block that I'm like, woe is me. I understand that. But my love of teaching began, I think, when I was in college. And my love of service and volunteer work, social justice, was greatly informed by the Franciscans. So a bit of a primer real quick, if you're not Catholic or not the Christian tradition, it's okay, you don't have to be. I grew up in a Catholic household, which is pretty much like the story of every Irish, Polish, or Italian immigrant in New Jersey or New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Baltimore. You just go to church, that's what you do. But I went to public schools my whole life. Sunday school was like a Sunday thing. And even though we were casually involved in church, you know, it's like you spend your week doing week stuff. Then 1 hour a week, you go to church, you do a little bit of Sunday school, and then you go home and watch football. That's pretty much what the weekend is. So though faith was a big part of, I guess, my cultural tradition, and my family, you know, observed, sort of practiced their faith on Sundays, it was not a part of my everyday reality. It wasn't something that was very incarnate, very real, or very palpable, like volunteer work, service programs, things like that. And that's not to say it's good or bad. It just wasn't. That's how it was. When I was applying to colleges, this is a very long walk to how did you get into teaching? When I was applying to colleges, 18 years old, I was looking at opportunities to, I thought I was going to perform. I thought I was going to be a stage actor, a singer. And in fact, I was actually looking at schools and applying to schools with the goal of doing like a musical theater or a acting degree. That was the plan. I was involved in the Allstate Choir and, you know, all the stage productions and stuff like that. So I had a love of theater, a love of singing, a love of music, and a love of acting and writing. And I was auditioning at schools, and one of them was Catholic University, which is here in D.C., because it has a really strong musical theater performing arts program. I was accepted into the music theater program, and I came to Catholic, thinking I was going to major in music. But when I got my scholarship, this is now informing the teaching side of things, the music school is only so big, but the liberal arts school is much, much bigger. And so the endowment and the scholarship you can get from liberal arts was like way big. And then the music one was way less big. Not because I was good or bad at either of those things, just because bigger schools have more money. And so without even taking a single class in music or theater, I came to the same school that I had auditioned, got in for, thought I was going to be an actor. And then I got into English instead. Instead of being on stage reading other people's work, there was behind the stage writing, you know. I loved it. And it was, that came to Catholic Youth. I came to Washington, D.C. And it's how I came to campus ministry. Because in my time at Catholic Youth, because I missed that idea of performing. And I missed that idea of going out and just, I don't know, being a part of something bigger than myself. You know, I wasn't a sports or clubs guy by that time. I was, you know, skinny, I'm small, I'm not so great at ball sports, my hand-eye coordination. I like running, I like obstacle courses and adventure, I like going out there and doing stuff. And that led me to the campus ministry program, which every Friday night at the campus ministry, they would have volunteer opportunities or just chances to like socialize, get out and like be with the city. And it's a thin end of the wedge to kind of get you into what we call a ministry of presence, which is something I really carry into my own teaching pedagogy. A ministry of presence is saying, hey, I'm not trying to sell you anything here. I'm just trying to be with you. That's fine. There's a great quote from Mother Teresa, you know, who says, first we feed them, then we clothe them, then, and only if they ask us, do we tell them about Christ. And so it was through my time with campus ministry that I got to strike up conversations and getting to know the people who were hanging out, people who were coming around together. And there's like, you know, cliques. Every high school, every college has its cliques or its people. But I was not particularly hanging out with the students. I found myself really gravitating towards particularly one friar, Father Brad Heckathorn, because he was brilliant. And I was like, oh, here we go. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, Father Brad least of all, but, you know, when you think about people who are, you know, a priest, someone who is full of Christ's love, you know, you're like, oh, here we go, they're going to be warm and fuzzy, and that was the exact opposite for me, because I kind of felt it was, like, maybe a little shallow, maybe a little fake. Like, again, I came from a public school background where things were a little bit more gritty, a little bit more raw, a little less warm fuzzies, and so I was so struck that Father Brad was sarcastic. He was a sourpuss. He was a grump, but he loved the New England Patriots. He loved board games, and he loved Chipotle, and he loved musical theater. And we had a lot in common real quick. And I remember being struck by it because he was like the fastest friend I ever made in college. On a lark, and I don't even know why I did it, I had nothing to do on a spring break, and I saw something coming up with my sophomore year. And I decided I would apply for a mission trip to go to Jamaica in the West Indies. Never been on a mission trip before. I did not know what to expect. And I had really been involved with like the ministry part of campus ministry, just like the social element of, you know, I have a friend who's a priest. But Father Brad was the chaplain at the time leading the vocations trip or the mission trip. And he's like, why do you want to do this? I'm like, I'll be honest, I don't know. I'm not some sort of like God squad Jesus freaker. I'm just a guy who I like being out. I like doing stuff. I like trying new things, exploring new things. And that for me was a turning point in my life, because it got me involved with social justice and involved with campus ministry. Because Father Brad rolled the dice and says, yeah, you don't really fit the profile of the typical person we bring on these trips. You know, there are like the traditional cradle Catholics who then go to the good Catholic schools and are actively involved in ministry all their college years. And I wasn't that guy. I was really interested, like, try anything, right? So I did. And I went to Jamaica, and I wound up so affected by my time in the West Indies that we went the next year as well. I actually wound up leading the trip. I was the student organizer with Father Brad. And it was beautiful, because the same way that a stage play can bring smiles and like joy and empathy and catharsis to people, I saw like performing in a role of ministry, you're bringing to people things that really fill their hearts and make them feel like they can do anything. And you don't have to be fake about it. You don't have to be like, you know, perpetually sunny and plucky and fun. Father Brad was not. He was a grump. Like, he was a sourpuss. You know, we'd play board games, and he would hear, like, his most repeated line when he got beat or when he was getting beat, he would turn and be like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Like, he would say it 2-3 times in a clip. And it was so, so beautiful, because, like, you knew he didn't mean it, but that he even had that in him to say it. Like, he would either be the priest who you'd be out at a bar with, right? He'd be the priest, he'd be watching a Patriots game, and he'd be cussing at the Jets because, you know, like, they're like the dreaded rivals. We go to Broadway shows together over Thanksgiving, Christmas breaks. He spent holidays with my family. And he was a very kind person, like a very empathetic person, but like, there was no pretense about it. So like, you know, even at the service today, I'm listening over the Zoom call, and they're like, you know, true to the end, you know, Brad was, you know, he was sick after surgery, but he wasn't complaining. Well, sometimes. And like, everyone kind of laughed, because I loved that. And I loved so much about his ministry and his friendship, because it was real. And I think in my own classroom, I got involved with campus ministry, and very quickly thereafter got involved with the DC Reads program, volunteering in schools inside of the Washington, D.C. school system that are, at the time, were No Child Left Behind schools, deep inside of poverty and the achievement gap. And Father Brad is a Franciscan friar. They wear the brown or the black cloaks. You may have seen them. He's a conventual Franciscan, so he wears the black cloak with the rope like belt and three knots. It's like three. It's a cord with three knots. And those knots are like the vows that the friars take. And they stand for poverty, chastity, and obedience. And each of those things are sort of self-explanatory. But I think what struck me there is the authenticity of it, right? Like, we went to Broadway shows because he got an honorarium for working at the school, like to help pay your cell phone, right? And every dollar he didn't send back to his mom, who's still alive in her 90s, he was like, do you want to go to lunch? Because I don't have any use for money, so like, let me buy you lunch, you know. As we're driving up to my family's house in New Jersey, it, you know, dropped me off for the holiday when he went to New Hampshire, where his family was from. He's like, hey, I have friends who are, you know, they run the friary up in New York City. If you want, we can have a day trip to the city. You know, it's not too far from your family's house, and then spend the holiday. And I was like, that's amazing. And he's like, let's see Broadway shows, because why not, right? Like, I know it's a thing we both enjoy, and I have no use for money, so let me buy your ticket. And it's something as stupid and as small as that. Like, I don't love the guy because he bought me stuff. I love the guy because he saw me, you know, he knew who I was. He was a great teacher and a great friend to do ministry programs to things that I felt comfortable with, like, you know, going out, watching football games, playing board games, going to a bar, going to see a Broadway show, yucking it up, being grumpy, being lousy, taking the board and flipping it over and walking out and saying you'll never talk to him again, playing Texas Hold'em and taking like taking all that stack of chips because what was $5, right? You know, but he saw me as somebody who loved all of those things, and then through that, being there and showing up for me in all of those capacities, I came to see the beauty of the things that he loved. And I don't think it's an accident that I found myself in teaching, in social justice, in ministry, and in schools. And what do you know? In my own teaching, right? I leverage all of those things that I just mentioned, except for the alcohol. No alcohol in school. But like, my class feels like a sport, right? My class feels like a game. My class feels like the things that my kids love. And I don't know anything about Rick and Morty or Fortnite at all. In as much as I'm sure Father Brad didn't know the first thing about WWE SmackDown. But damn it, like, he showed up for me. And he was all in. And I don't pretend to be anything other than all in for my kids, my students. And I think that that authenticity is something that people recognize. They can feel it, and they can hear it, and they can just, like, resonate with it and see this person putting their life on the line for me. They are humbling themselves to do a ministry of presence, which is a way of saying, hey, I'm going to walk beside you. I don't have any more answers than you do, but I'm going to be here when you have questions. And isn't that beautiful as a metaphor? Like, isn't that just a really powerful thing? So, I say that to say, I remember my friend today. And I think as a student turned teacher, if my own students could remember me as a teacher in that way, like, that is a success. I said at Father Brad's funeral that biblical passage about having run the race. You know, I've run the race. You know, I did my job. And I think that metaphor of sport, that metaphor of competition, but also that metaphor of just showing up every day is just so beautiful. So if you are a praying type, if you are a kind words type, please send some up in the direction of New Hampshire or up in the direction of the great hereafter for my good friend Father Brad Heckathorn, passed away last week. And if you are an educator in your own classrooms, and if you've dealt with loss of other teachers or students, I do keep that in mind too. Like, hey, I'm so sorry for your loss, especially in this COVID time. We're very aware of this palpable sense of contagion and this sense of loss. So do what you can to stay safe and stay healthy, but also to be real with your students. Own that empathy, own that authenticity, own that fear, and say, hey, I too feel vulnerable. I feel scared. I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to be here right next to you when you have questions. And I think that's a really beautiful way to kind of think of the work that we do as educators. We really have an enormous potential to touch so many lives. Even when we're doing something stupid as playing a board game, right? God bless you guys. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Stay home. Wear a mask. Say a prayer tonight for Father Brad if you think of it. And I'm back next week. Let's hang out on Twitter @MeehanEDU. Thanks again.